panel. Drop it. All right, awesome. Ray William Joss is here. I don't have my soundboard. Okay. Jimmy, Anna, still with us. I want to read a couple of quick tweets, then we're going to go to the stories as usual. Ben Peck writes in, and I was almost going to read this last time, but pulled it back because we were about to do it. Anna, wishing Anna a happy 10-year anniversary working at TYT. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, because I knew we were going to do this,
yeah.
I had this thing of like, it's a wonderful life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if it was like, and then we do TYT without Anna and how that is.
Oh, what would that be like?
What would that be like? And then, you know.
There'd be a lot of men on the show. Oh, wait.
And I pictured me going, oh, cut it out now. Cut it out. Bring me back. I don't want this.
Oh, you know what? Ben would have probably poisoned that little kid if Anna wasn't here.
What?
Is that from that movie?
Remember, he saw the guy giving the wrong medicine when he was a little kid. And he stopped.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Weird conversation to walk into. You're referring to the last episode.
It's. Don't get me started on all the references to It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, hold on. Let's keep going.
My lip's bleeding.
Cut it out now. Cut it out. Bring me back.
Okay, out you two pixies go through the door or out the window.
You're pretty good at that. Anyway, Danger Carlos Danger, which is a fun nickname from hashtag TYT Live, of course, talk to us throughout the show, says, give John Iadarola his pillow back. I will not stand for such tyranny. Shame on you, Cenk. Pillow socialism is not okay. Hey, I didn't do it. Irma did it. Blame Irma. Okay? Hashtag blame Irma. This is a good one. Ray for Madness says, when Cenk makes a pun, the audience responds with a weaponized groans.
Yes.
And hashtag clinically depressed trombone. Santos Juante says someone's going to hack those police drones. I'm worried about that too. Captain Jinglepants says, which is already funny. Why doesn't TYT have a soundtrack we can buy/download? Starting with the intro music we can bang our heads to. Well, that's actually totally free and available music that you can get somewhere else. So, I don't know, make your own soundtrack. Okay. But you know what? If you want, we'll do it. God bless. We don't mind doing that. All right. I'm done.
Okay.
Oh, we forgot to check the TYTnetwork.com/go to see if we made, was it 565 we're trying to do by the end of the hour?
Yes.
So 1.565. Can I see it? Oh, no, I cannot.
We're getting close, though.
But we are getting close. Let's see, 1565 by the end of the show. Oh, come on, by the end of the show. Help journalism. All right, Casper, go.
All right. Many are concerned after Congress voted to allow internet service providers to sell your browsing history to third parties. Well, if you're worried about your porn viewing habits, maybe this story will kind of put you at ease a little bit. Now, Pornhub announced that they are switching to Hypertext Transfer Protocol Secure, that's known as HTTPS, which is designed to keep or make users' experiences even more secure. YouPorn, which is owned by the same parent company, will also switch to the same protocol on April 4th. Now, here's an important thing to keep in mind, though. If internet service providers want to sell your browsing history, which includes Pornhub.com or YouPorn.com, that information will still be on that browsing history. The only thing is they won't be able to tell which content you clicked on within that website. So if you're into cream pie videos, don't worry, the third party will not know about it unless they come up with some sort of technology that would be able to decipher what kind of content you are looking at. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so a couple of things on this. I don't want people to get the wrong idea that, oh wow, Pornhub or YouPorn is particularly vulnerable. They're actually going above and beyond, and their whole point is we're less vulnerable than the rest, because on the rest, they might be able to track the actual videos you were looking at, or if you're old school, the pictures you were looking at, et cetera. With us, we've got this awesome HTTPS technology and no cream pie for you, FBI, if you're looking, or NSA or whatever's looking into
right.
that.
Right.
I like it that we've stuck on this example.
On cream pie? I mean, did you want bukkake? I mean, I can try anything out there if you want it.
But in the Mashable article, they needlessly gave examples like mom rides her dentist and begs for cream pie.
It's very specific.
There's nothing funnier than porn searches. Because there are guys who are like, yes, the mom with the dentist. That's what I needed today.
Yeah.
Guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how much illegal activity actually goes on Pornhub or YouPorn or whatever for that matter. I think people just want to avoid it. Well, speaking from experience, I just want to avoid embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. And to Ray's point, look, if it's one thing, if it's like, you know, random dude, he just doesn't want to get embarrassed, but likely they're not going to target him. But now if you have a political opponent, and you have all of his embarrassing porn searches, and that makes it much easier.
Right.
I remember when they targeted Professor Juan Cole. Dick Cheney wanted to make sure he didn't get a job at Yale. I mean, what a weird obsession, because he was a critic of the Bush administration. And they looked into his life, and Professor Cole was like, luckily, I'm really boring. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not cheating on my wife, I'm not having sex with anybody, I'm not tweeting anybody, right, et cetera. But now they're going to say, oh, you have a boring life, you're not doing anything wrong, you're not doing any crimes, you're not doing anything against your wife. So what? Every dude's watching some porn, and all we got to do is cream pie him.
We just got to figure out what type of porn it is, because regardless of what type of porn you're into, you're right, right? It gets super embarrassing once you get into the details, right? I think when someone is accused of watching porn, it's probably the most boring accusation imaginable, even if you're living in the Bible Belt, which, by the way, consumes the most porn of any other part of the country.
And the most gay porn.
Yeah, just putting that out there. But nonetheless, like, I think that everyone assumes that most people, you know, watch some sort of pornographic content at some point in their lives. That's not a big deal. It's what you like to watch within these porn sites that's questionable.
And is there like a non-embarrassing porn where it's like boring porn? Oh, that guy's into boring porn.
Unless you're clicking on titles that say loving missionary sex between married couple. No, everything else is super, super bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, name a thing, right? Like the most popular probably online is Barely Legal, right?
Yeah.
And Barely Legal, look at what they're doing, right? It's just this close away from illegal.
Right? Yeah. In 1980, Ronald Reagan nominated Justice Bork to be a Supreme Court justice in the 80s. And he was so extreme that the Democrats actually stood up and stopped it. And then they compromised on a compromise candidate, which was Justice Antonin Scalia. So just so you know, that's how bad Justice Bork was. He was the guy who Nixon could count on to do that firing, right? Of all the, so that's who Justice Bork was. And so somebody who ran a video store, because people don't know this, it used to be when you wanted to get entertained, you had to leave your house, go out to another building where they had these things called videotapes, right? And they're like the size of a book, and like a book is like a stack of Kindles. Anyway, it's a long story. And so he would rent them from his store closest to his house, and then they released his records from all the videotapes that Justice Bork had rented. And so then they immediately passed the law that said in 1988 that said you can't do that anymore ever. In fact, you'll get fined if you do that. That's what the conservatives used to think back in the 80s. Look how far we've come. Now, not only are we having essentially a surveillance state where they have every email, telephone call, and text that you make, they've also repealed habeas corpus, and now they're going to start selling your private video data to third parties. It's not only even 180 degrees, if there's a possible farther away from that you can get, we've gotten it. And they don't even used to be, you know, the NSA, the spying, the warrantless wiretap, all that stuff. That used to be for our safety and against terrorism. They don't even use that as a pretense anymore. They're just like, oh, well, some companies should be able to make more money off of you because Facebook does, so why shouldn't they? Instead of saying, hey, it's wrong that Facebook does it, now we're going to give you more privacy, they go, well, Facebook already does it, so we should let everybody do it. The problem is you can log out of Facebook, you can't log out of your ISP.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in that case, the Republicans were protecting privacy rights, partly because they got targeted, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, it turns out the right wing can get targeted too. It's equal opportunity in that sense. And so I like that at least Pornhub is going in this direction and trying to protect some of your information. They say, but we can't stop them if they know that you're there, at least that you're coming to Pornhub or you're coming to YouPorn, which is true of all the porn sites. But a lot of the porn sites are not protected.
Yeah, so apparently there are only 11 major adult sites.
Trust me, there are also a lot of minor ones.
There are minor ones, yes, I'm sure. But out of the 11 major adult sites, only two of them will be using the HTTPS W whatever thing.
So all the rest, good luck to you, whatever you happen to be into.
Yeah. Just go to Pornhub and stuff.
Is that really a selling point for anyone who's searching for porn, though? Like, are they really looking for the site that's like double protected?
I am.
Are you?
I mean, I should hope so, but you're right. I think a lot of people aren't even A, aware of what Congress just did, and B, aware that there's a difference between a porn site like YouPorn or Pornhub versus the others out there, you know, in terms of this kind of security.
And in that moment, I don't know that you're at your most careful.
Right, exactly. You're not going to switch back to magazines just because these sites aren't protected or anything like that.
I like that idea.
I do like that.
Taking this analog or whatever.
I think that's another form of porn, by the way. Oh, watch her get analogued. Or him.
I'm more of a cream log.
But I keep thinking about there isn't any kind of porn that they couldn't like do demagoguery over. He's into grandmothers, for Christ's sake. What does he want to do to your grandma? Yeah.
All right, let's move on to some other news. All right. The issue of so-called digital strip searches is coming up quite a bit when it comes to air travel, especially now that we have situations where TSA agents will ask you for your smartphone or the password to the technology that you're traveling with. In fact, according to data from the Department of Homeland Security, searches of mobile phones by border agents grew from fewer than 5,000 in 2015 to 25,000 in 2016. Now, the government says that the 2016 number is a little bit of an anomaly. Don't worry, it's not usually that high, but they didn't really specify what they meant by that. Why is it an anomaly and why shouldn't we expect the number to continue increasing? Now, with that said, in addition to going through people's smartphones in person, US Customs and Border Protection and US Immigration and Customs Enforcement can also confiscate devices for a further forensic examination. In this case, agents can make full copies of all the data on the phone, which can be shared with other government agencies. So what they do is they'll essentially hold someone hostage in a way. Like, let's say you're trying to enter back into the United States and they're like, we need to see your phone, you need to give us your password. If you refuse, if they refuse and you're not a US citizen, they could just deny you entry, period. If you are a US citizen though, you might have to go through an insanely lengthy and cumbersome process where they kind of like hold on to your stuff, and then I don't know what they do, but hours later decide that they'll let you go. But if you're a US citizen, obviously they can't deny you entry into the country.
So this is an absolute disaster on many different fronts. So first, let's talk about citizens and green card holders. So this is the most unconstitutional thing you can imagine. It says in the Constitution, you cannot have an unreasonable search and seizure without a warrant. They don't have warrants, they don't even have to have a suspicion. And is it an unreasonable search of your private information to look into your cell phone and check the emails that you got, the phone numbers that you have? Of course, the pictures that you have. I can't imagine a more unreasonable search without any suspicion, without a warrant. That is literally unconstitutional. Hell no, not even close. Now they do it and nobody even complains. Where's all the Republicans screaming about the Constitution or Democrats? This is unreal. They can't do this to citizens. Yeah. So look, I'm gonna be traveling outside the country. I'm gonna be coming back in. So I gotta lock my phone, and there's no way I let them unlock it. No way. And if you're a citizen, you know your rights, and yes, then they will illegally detain you. They don't call it illegal, but it is illegal. Mm-hmm. It is unconstitutional. They might detain you for a couple hours. God knows how long they'll detain you. And then they can keep your phone, according to this, for weeks. So look, they're gonna at some point do this to the wrong hombre, who's gonna be a Harvard law professor, and then we're gonna go to court and we're gonna settle this, because this is as unconstitutional as it gets.
Okay. Wait a minute. The whole fucking NSA spying is unconstitutional. The whole thing that we're living in right now is unconstitutional. Repealing habeas corpus is unconstitutional. We're living in a fucking surveillance state, a police state. It's all unconstitutional, and no one gives a shit about it anymore. I'm with you. I'm going out of the country in a few weeks, and I'm afraid to come back in with my phone. This happened to my nephew. He went to Canada, and they had everybody in a room, and they were messing with the Hispanics way more than anybody else.
Of course, and of course, Muslims, yada, yada. So, Jimmy, the reason why this might make a difference is the NSA is looking into all of our stuff, but we don't know it. So it hasn't touched people yet.
Right.
Or when the government looked into the phone sex conversations of our troops in Iraq while pretending to spy in on terrorists, people thought, well, that's not me. I don't know that guy. It's not my, right? Mm-hmm. But everybody who's got a phone goes, whoa, wait a minute. I got something on my phone I don't want the government to see.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why this could be a much larger issue where we finally maybe draw a line. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you're not a citizen, oh, good night, Irene. If you don't let them violate your privacy, that's it. They pull your visa and they can deny you entry into the country, send you back. And then there goes your whole trip. It's all the expenses, yada, yada. And you're not allowed to enter the US unless we get to violate everything that's sacred to you, and what isn't in our phones?
Why would anyone want to travel to the United States if they're not a citizen at this point, right? For vacation, like I wouldn't want a vacation in the United States knowing that these are the type of draconian, you know, searches that they do of individuals trying to cross the border. That's insane. It's insane. And look, The Guardian. I love The Guardian. They did a great job in reporting this story and giving readers tips on what to do to protect themselves if they are traveling to the United States. But the thing is, we shouldn't live in a situation where we constantly have to like delete things off our phone or store everything on a cloud or Dropbox and not have anything on our smartphones because there's a possibility that some crazy TSA agent is going to look through our data or store our data on whatever database they have. Like, think about that. If you are a business owner or if you're working for Silicon Valley or you're developing something, there might be trade secrets in there that you don't want the government knowing about. You don't want anyone knowing about. And they're going to be able to download all that stuff. That's insane. If anything, we should be asking Congress to protect big business by not allowing this to happen, right? If big business is the only thing they care about and they don't care about the privacy and constitutional rights of individual people.
What specifically are they looking for? I don't even know half the stuff that's on my laptop at this point, but right. I definitely don't have like a folder that's labeled terrorism or anything like that. So what could they actually find within 30 minutes or a few hours that would be so incriminating?
Yeah, they claim that they're looking for dumbass terrorists who just tweeted, hey, I'm landing in Milwaukee, can't wait to bomb something, right? But you're right, Ray, if you're gonna do that, you're the person that is least likely to have that stuff, to even have that phone or laptop on you, or to have that material.
Right.
And so it is a very ineffective program that does the maximum amount of privacy invasion. So it's a lose-lose.
This is how they justify it. They say they are critical to the detection of evidence relating to terrorism and other national security matters, human and bulk smuggling, contraband, child pornography, commercial crimes, copyright, trademark, export control violation. So yeah, it's a great way to help find out those. You know what else is? Illegal searches. That's a great way to help find out. You can just pull people over, go through their shit, go into their houses. You'll find lots of evidence about a lot of crimes. That's not the country we're supposed to be living in. Like, that's just how they're justifying it, because we actually find crimes. That's not the world we're supposed to live in.
Well, by the way, that goes both ways. So they say, oh, child porn. Okay, you better all agree, because what if I find child porn? But like Jimmy said, you could also just bust into people's houses and say, give me all your shit. Okay, all right, just in case I find child porn. But that's unconstitutional. You need a warrant to do that.
No, but you know what? I'm very concerned about TSA agents possibly having child porn on their phone. So I want to go through every TSA agent's phone before I cross back into the border. Because, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm holding these people responsible for their actions. How is this any different from just going into someone's house without a warrant? And just going through theirs. It's not different, right? These are our homes. Honestly, we probably have more about us here than we have in our actual homes. And so you need a warrant. You need a warrant. There needs to be probable cause. You need to prove or at least show that there is some reason to believe that this person is doing something wrong and you have to go through their shit.
I miss the days when they used to just fill you up. I would rather them cop a feel than go through my phone. That's how invasive that would feel to me.
They will do both.
Yeah.
don't worry.
Thank God.
So, look, you like I said, you might have pictures on there that you don't want people to see, and they can download the stuff. You think they're not going to abuse that? Mm. You think the first thing they're not going to look for is naked pictures of either you or your girlfriend or your wife? You think that's the first thing they're not going to download? Like I said, in Iraq, when we're supposed to be looking on terrorists, the first thing we did with wiretapping was listen to phone sex of our own soldiers. The first thing, because the minute guys run it, that's of course what they're going to do. And a slope goes both ways. Oh, we're looking for child porn. Well, how do I know that the guy getting the phone isn't a pedo, and that he's going to go in and take pictures of my kids and download that? No, no way, no way. You're sure that guys who are into that kind of stuff aren't going to go take that job just to be able to do that? No, that's why we have a constitution. That's why we call it America, because you've got to actually have probable cause before you can get a warrant and search everything we have. No, you're not getting to run through our pictures and our emails. It's absolutely outrageous. And right now, if we don't do something about it, they're going to do it. They're doing it right now. I mean, there's dozens, hundreds of examples, let alone the one The Guardian talks about, which is a NASA engineer coming back from a trip from Chile. Now, he's South Asian. He's coming from a Latin American country. He's a citizen. Who cares? Search all his stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely outrageous and clearly unconstitutional.
All right, let's take our first break of the second hour. And when we come back, El Chapo, is he being held in unreasonable, I don't know.
Conditions, circumstances.
Yes, conditions and is a good word.
Yeah, or another way of putting it is, are we being too mean to El Chapo? Okay, and we haven't even gotten the sex ed yet. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. I'm going to do member shout outs for you guys. Giovanni Reyes or Reyes and Nancy Connell or Connell. No, I'm kidding. All right. thank you guys for being members. We do have a fun post game for you guys. They did weekly world news. That's, don't worry about the spelling. Obituaries of a civil rights journalist. That's really interesting. And apparently they had a heated discussion here in the TYT staff about whether I focus too much of my energy on the DNC.
Oh,
that's an interesting little conversation. So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Get all the post games, get Aggressive Progressive starring Jimmy Dore, and get all the shows commercial free. Okay, tweets. Captain Jingle Pants with a really interesting tweet. that's a sentence often spoken, right? I ran a porn site a long time ago. A customer asked for 4 videos of, no joke, quote, Japanese girls in wood sandals stomping walnuts.
That's a thing, though. Like, that's a thing. Yeah, people are into that. Yeah.
Crushing, stomping is a thing, but it is so fucking specific. And he added hashtag too specific.
Yeah.
Like, I need them to be Japanese. I need them to have wooden sandals on. And I need to, not pecans, walnuts.
Now, that guy used to work at a porn place, and you wonder how he got the name Jingle Pants?
Yeah. Okay, Dropkick Kimmy writes in, well, the porn companies just gave us all a happy ending to this shitty privacy bill. Nice little pun there, which I always enjoy. Tenside Badger says, we need a second hour power panel graphic, neon sign with a subtitle of Second Hour with Anna Kasparian, deal with it, cucks.
I actually love that.
Okay. David Frost says, time to fuck with my browser history. Gonna search Trump sheep porn for the next week. And John Seal says, I'm gonna take a bunch of pictures of me giving the TSA the finger and watch their faces when they open it.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, excellent. All right, one more thing. Ray came on in the second hour, and I just assumed that you knew him and just powered on. Part of the reason I assumed that is because Ray is one of the biggest stars in social media history, I would dare say.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, damn, I threw that out there. Equals 3 among about a dozen shows or so. Mm-hmm. My kids loved you as Superman in Epic Rap Battles. No,
Goku.
Goku, yeah. Sorry. It was Goku versus Superman. And they kept saying, but Baba, who should win? Because they were so confused. Who should win? It's such a tough battle.
Goku.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Of course.
Goku.
Of course. I may be biased, but yeah, of course.
So everybody check out, and I know I think we run it in the bottom and the lower thirds every once in a while, but check out Ray on Instagram now at Ray William Johnson. Okay? All right. There it is. And Facebook too, right?
Yeah. Got a lot going on Facebook too.
All right.
Got to hit them all.
Yep, that's
these
right.
Days.
Exactly right. All right. Now, Casper, what's next?
All right. El Chapo is the notorious drug kingpin who escaped a prison in Mexico fairly recently, and he was extradited to the United States, where he is currently awaiting a trial. He is in New York, actually. And so there's an interesting argument being made now by his appointed lawyers, who argue that, hey, you know what, maybe his prison conditions are a little too harsh, and as a result, we're having a hard time, you know, giving him a fair shot in our justice system. Okay, so let me give you the details. So Guzman is restricted to his New York City cell for 23 hours a day with the lights on at all times. He has 1 hour of exercise in a small interior cage with no access to fresh air or sunlight. His captivity appeared to be unnecessarily harsh and in contravention of minimum UN standards for the treatment of prisoners. That was a statement made by Amnesty International. Now, Amnesty International claims that they're going to do further investigations of this to kind of determine whether or not his prison conditions are fair and whether or not it gets in the way of true justice in this case. Let me give you more details about what they feel. We will continue to investigate cases of alleged improper treatment of prisoners, regardless of who the prisoner is or what they may have done. All right.
I'm curious what you all think about this, because we might be all over the board on our opinions on this.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, you start.
I'm split, because on one hand, I definitely believe in the cause of fair treatment for prisoners. On the other hand, I kind of don't give a damn about El Chapo. And I also think there may be a little bit of like, yeah, maybe his prison conditions are harsh, or maybe they're just harsh compared to the Mickey Mouse resorts that he escaped from twice in the past.
Right, yeah.
So the second part of that is what really gives me pause here. Because it doesn't matter how bad the guy is, we can't torture him and do unusual. And I think this solitary confinement is in essence torture. So Jerry Sandusky's a piece of crap, and he's like the worst guy alive. There's thousands of those cases. Doesn't mean we should put them in a hole and give them solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. But Al Chapo is a guy who's broken out of many prisons.
Yeah.
So he says, well, you won't let me call anyone outside. Yeah, because the last time you called someone outside, it was a mile-long tunnel underneath the prison. So he's got the worst case to make, and even so, it still sounds a bit too harsh.
Disagree. I think that this is one of the rare situations where I think that these restrictive prison conditions make sense, because he's not some random like person who was involved in the drug trade. He was or is a highly connected person who has a network of individuals that are willing to do whatever it is and whatever it is to help him get out, right? And not necessarily get out of our prisons or escape our prisons. I would argue that it might be a little more difficult here. But nonetheless, he is a risk, and I think that they're trying to do whatever is possible to ensure that he's not like wheeling and dealing while he's in prison, because that's something that happens as well. You have people inside still manipulating their like drug rings and shit. So I think that's what they're concerned about.
I think it's you know, it's always risky when you have different standards for different people, right? So, like, someone would say, well, Edward Snowden's he's a traitor. He's a
traitor.
Traitor.
Or committing treason.
He's a traitor. He's a traitorer. He's traitored. And so him or Private Manning, right? They tortured him, and it was all because, you know, and they all had bullshit reasons why they did it. And I'm pretty sure that if you are running a prison, you should be able to keep the most visible guy in your prison secure. And if you can't, you know, then let's have somebody else come run the prison. And I don't think you need to. I understand. I'm not being sympathetic to this guy. I'm saying what they can then do to anybody, because they say they're always just as bad as that guy. So it's a slippery slope. And that's why we have rules that you have to treat everyone equally, I think. I don't think it's okay for the state to be enforcing torture on anyone. I don't know if this rises to the level of torture, but I think we can be, I think we can lock up. We lock up terrorists in our country, and we don't have to do that to them, do we? I mean, are they all?
I'm sure we're giving them insanely strict and harsh conditions as well. And look, there are some components of this that I'm willing to have a conversation on, right? I'm very important. Like, whether or not I want to have a conversation matters.
FBI's calling her right now. Hey, Anna, right. We heard you were willing to have a conversation.
But if I were, you know, if I had to adjudicate this situation, then I would say, all right, we don't need to leave the lights on for 23 hours a day, right? So let the guys sleep. It's really hard to sleep with the lights on, whatever it is. But I totally understand why they want to isolate him, especially when you consider how powerful he is and how connected he is.
I think, so... Funny enough, I think everybody's right, even though we're disagreeing. Mm-hmm. But let me explain. So, yeah, of course, Jimmy, we have to have the same standard for everybody. We can't say, well, I really don't like that guy. Right? That's the whole point of the sentence. You show that you really don't like that guy when you give him a life sentence. Or, hey, that wasn't so bad, you got a year, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how we adjudicate that. On the other hand, there are some unique situations that call for very specific measures. So El Chapo is a guy who could call the outside world and could have passwords, and they've had in the past. And he could say, like, oh, I hope Joey's doing okay. And that means murder Jose in Sinaloa. Who knows, right? So you could be a little bit careful. Now, if you got a hacker, am I going to give him access to the computer at the prison library? Probably not. So, you know, you could make judgment calls there case by case. Or really dangerous hacker, presumably, right? But that doesn't mean that you keep him in a hole for 23 hours and you don't let him see sunlight. There has to be some bare minimum guidelines to how we treat human beings, even if they're El Chapo. Mm. And so, you know, look, we're on the super right-wing, draconian edge of that when you look at the whole world. In Norway, it's unbelievable what the prisoners get. And Breivik, the guy who murdered dozens of people, including all those kids in Norway, is complaining that he only has PlayStation 3 and they haven't updated it to PlayStation 4. I'm not kidding. And that's the worst mass murder they ever had in Norway. And so on the other hand, we go way over the top. Solitary confinement at a drop of a hat when it is almost certainly torture. And they're saying, nah, this is lawyer, and I don't know if it's true, but they're saying El Chapo is already imagining people in his room and having conversations with people that don't exist. But it is believable, because that's what happens to the human mind if you can't talk to anyone else. We're social animals, and it breaks us psychologically. Mm. So we're not, Eighth Amendment, we're not supposed to do that. And as human beings, we shouldn't do that to other human beings, because it's not good enough to say that they're the bad guys. We're supposed to be the good guys.
And just to clarify, I'm not saying, you know, let's be super harsh on him because he's El Chapo. It's about his particular case, the type of person he is, and how he poses a certain risk, right? And so I just want to ensure that he's not able to do anything on the outside from the inside, if you get what I'm saying.
No, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. No, I think that we kind of disagreed, but kind of agreed.
Okay.
I think we adjudicated it. So like, anytime you want FBI, call.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Oftentimes, people think of residents of California as uber libs that just want to talk sex with their kids all the time. But that's not the case. It's really not. At least not in Cupertino Union School District, where the board decided to do away with a comprehensive sex ed curriculum that the parents did not like because it actually talked about sex. So let me give you the details. More than 150 parents came out to a Cupertino Union School District board meeting earlier this week to protest a new sexual health education curriculum that would have defined anal, vaginal, and oral sex. As a result, the updated curriculum failed to pass the board. So a bunch of people signed a petition to do away with this curriculum, and it worked. And it's kind of incredible because it doesn't seem like the curriculum taught anything out of the ordinary, okay? It just taught the facts. So the data in it was explicit, one unknown parent writes. It was extremely provocative. It was written with too much suggestion. The entire approach was all about perform, not about inform. The entire assumption made by the curriculum that we reviewed was that all our children are already sexually active. Keep in mind, this would be taught to seventh graders, and I get it, seventh grade sounds really, really young, but what a lot of parents don't get is that a lot of seventh graders do start becoming sexually active. So you want to educate them as much as possible. Anyway.
You don't want to wait till after they're sexually active to educate them? I mean, let them fuck around for a while and then, right? You don't want to get out in front of that,
right?
You want to let them have maybe make a few mistakes.
Yeah.
And
maybe life-altering mistakes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm
correct
thinking.
Them a little bit after that.
Yeah. And this happened in Cupertino. And I don't know if you know, is that the Cupertino where Apple is located?
Yeah.
These people are living in Silicon Valley and they're worried about a curriculum at a frickin' school about sex. I'm not worried about the internet. If your kid
such a great point.
I mean, if your kid has a computer and a cell phone, it's all over already. Yeah. So this might be some intelligent, mature grown-ups who get to talk about this in the right way instead of what your kid gets all day, which is it being talked about in the wrong way, which is online.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm told living in Cupertino is in itself a form of abstinence. I just had to get that in there. I'm sorry.
So, you guys preemptively changed my mind. Uh-huh. I was going to shock the world, and I was going to say, look, I partly get a parent's concern. Hey, listen, you want to show them how to put on a condom and make sure that they understand that you can get your penis can turn green if you get syphilis, so don't do that, yada, yada. But do we really have to get into anal and oral and, and you can get a little squeamish, mm-hmm. et cetera, into anal. Right, I got you. All right, anyway,
yes.
On the other hand, Jimmy makes a devastating point, which is who cares? The minute they're online, they can search donkey sex.
Yeah.
So then we're done with it, right? So you might as well at least say, hey, by the way, that donkey sex is not as safe as you think it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And you might want to put on a condom. No, because don't do it.
Good parents.
No, because they have strong back legs.
That's true. That's another hazard.
The thing is,
don't be a jackass.
I think parents are always going to believe what they want to believe. And these are the types of parents who don't want to believe that their kids are looking up questionable stuff on the internet, right? It's just.
Not my kid. Not my kid wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
He's got some bad friends, but my kid wouldn't do that. My kid doesn't have a sex drive.
Do you guys remember? Yeah. I don't know if we're too old now, and only a couple of us have kids in it, but do we forget how we were at 13 years old?
Right.
Like, it's not like the humans have changed so much that these parents, who are however old they are from 30 to 50 years old, don't remember when they were 13, 12 or 13 years old and the things they were thinking and wondering and curious about before they even had maybe their no sex ed and then had to figure this stuff out for themselves. So I don't know why the purity all of a sudden comes late in your life. At first, you're like, oh, because I'm going to do all this. And then let you go, how dare they do these things that I totally did back then.
But it's
weird.
True.
How do you not remember who you were?
You become a little more conservative as you get older, even if you're like a super liberal person. Like
I know, but look, but my experience in sex ed from back then kind of informs a little bit my opinion on it because I'll make up the name, but it's pretty similar to her name. Miss Pomegranate taught us crazy stuff. So she was like, now, when all you boys are in a circle jerk.
What?
Like, wait, what?
And then as soon as you heard that, you proceeded to engage in a circle jerk, right?
Okay. Exactly, he didn't.
No, not at that moment.
you waited until the bell rang.
Yeah. No, I waited until I was done with school and went wrestling. Anyway, but I had never heard of a circle jerk. But by the way, though, I'm a grandpa. I grew up at a time where there was no internet, mm-hmm. right? So, and we were in high school at that point. By high school, they're like, circle jerk. Like, whatever that is, it's like so damn,
mild,
right?
So mild.
No doggies involved. Get out of here, right? So I get that you got to do it in seventh grade because that's when they're 13 and they hit puberty. That's when they're super curious and might begin to act upon those things and you've got to educate them. But yeah, in the old days, sometimes they did go a little too much. That's why I was going to have sympathy for the parents. And you get rein in the Miss Pomegranates a little bit about teaching the kids about the circle jerks. And what does that have to do with safety, right? It doesn't have anything to do with it.
Again, I know your opinion has shifted a bit, but is it because you think it will influence them to then try it? Because that's what a lot of times mm-hmm. the conservative argument is. Mm-hmm. Well, my little Johnny would have never done that until he was given all these ideas, and now he's just effing everybody.
So I'm mixed on that because And another post game, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member and get all the post games. Anyway, I had talked about the first time that anybody had ever told me about how two males have sex, or one of the ways. Right? And I remember being like, what is this? I had never even thought about it. I think I was as old as 15 at the time. And like it blew me away. So now to JR's point, that didn't make me go, oh, now I see what I could do, right? Mm-hmm. But for some folks, it will make them think that. But at the same time, they were likely to become gay anyway. They were already gay, right? But of course, that will bother some parents. It will, and we have to keep it real about that.
Okay,
now,
so
that doesn't mean we should assuage them.
Here's what I believe should happen, okay? If you are a parent who doesn't want your child to learn about facts related to their bodies or their sexuality, that's fine. You can keep your child ignorant, but just abstain, have your child abstain from that class, right? You can do that. Because look, here's what happens. When it comes to sex ed, parents have to sign a form indicating that, you know, you're okay with your kid taking this class. If you're not okay, then don't have your kid take the class. But don't make all the other students suffer from being ignorant because you want to keep your kid ignorant. How about that?
Well, right. I'm willing to have a conversation about that.
Okay.
Well, there's nothing sexy. There's nothing inherently sexy about sex ed. If you think about the people who have to stand in front of the class, they're, you know, it's some volunteer who probably doubles as a lunch lady. He's got the big mole and they stand up there with the banana and they're doing the thing. They're not, it's not Jessica Alba reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing sexy about it.
That would be worth funding.
Yeah. Right. They make it sound like a hot porn star is going up in front of the class to read Cosmo tips on how to make your man come. That's not what happens in sex ed.
Well,
right?
She talked about performance. If they are talking about how to give better performance, then yes, I would agree. That's a bit much, okay?
Yeah.
Just talk about keeping it safe, and then we've got a deal. And like Jimmy said, don't worry about what's going on at school. Worried about what's going on their phones and their laptops.
I don't. What are you going to do, Cenk? I don't know. I don't have kids, so I don't have to ever face this, but you do.
Yeah. So my quick answer to you is, I'm too lazy a parent. I'm keeping it 100% real here. And tell you, look, I know other parents, they're going to do the encryption. I couldn't do encryption if my life depended. They're going to do this lock and that lock and yada, yada. I feel like if he or she has gotten to a point where they're doing that search, I guess they were ready to do that search, right? They were curious about it, yada, yada. Now, every once in a while, as they get older, I'm going to be looking over their shoulder like, hey, what are you looking at? And do the old Dogen maneuver. My dad, if you were at work, okay, and you're working for my dad, he'd bust in on you every once in a while to see you come in. What are you doing? He's like, I'll see you. If he caught you loafing twice, he'd fire you.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's like, once could happen, I understand.
You are the antithesis of your dad.
Wow. I know, but that's because that scarred me.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever I worked for someone else, I'd always be like, are they looking? Are they looking? What's going on?
Yeah,
are they going to
fire
me?
Yeah, totally.
And he just paid me $2 an hour. My God, these are too long of stories. I'll tell you in the post games. Yeah. But
well, when it comes to the pay, you guys are actually very similar.
Shots fired.
My theory, though, my overall theory on this is that the silent sinners scream the loudest. Because I knew someone when I was a kid, and she was the most out there person doing the drugs and the drinking and the sex and the whole thing. She had a reputation. Right? And she was friends with my sister. And then she had kids. And my sister would say, she is the strictest mom. And I'm like, because that's all she can think of is all the horrible shit she did as a kid.
Yeah.
And you project it onto your kid. So
definitely.
If you had a normal or a semi where you didn't do that stuff, you're not going to think your kid's going to be messed up. It's the people who did that shit who think, oh, I know what they're going to be doing. That's exactly what it is.
You know what? I just came to the conclusion, which I hadn't thought of before. My dad was a loafer.
Boom!
That's why he would bust in on people to see if they were loafing, because he assumed, I just solved it after all these years. Caught you. Okay. Jimmy just burst into the room that my dad was watching the show and go, what are you doing? I'll tell you real quick, because we're already over time. My brother-in-law is doing his PhD, and he was using an office in my dad's building that he managed, right? And he was doing his work. And my dad would bust it on him. He's not working for my dad or anything. And he'd be like, what are you working at? My brother-in-law is like, I have a heart attack here. I just took a break to get coffee for a second, and I feel like I'm going to get fired.
So your dad, he wasn't big on security cameras or surveillance cameras?
He just busted in? Just busted in, yeah. That's old school surveillance.
Yeah, Dogen a little style. Personal touch.
Yeah. All right, we are obviously out of time. Everybody check out Ray in every place he is. Ray William Johnson, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, he's on it. Jimmy Dore Show, yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on, man.
Of course, man.
It's great. The first ever appearance for Ray William Johnson. You crazy dog, yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, 10 years for Anna Kasparian.
Yay.
And then the Jimmy Dore Show.
And we'll see live Jimmy Dore Show April 24th in Burbank, California.
And you can check that out at jimmydorecomedy.com.
That's right.
I got it now. You see that?
Thank you.
I'm going on every day right after the donkey sex thing. Boom, jimmydorecomedy.com. I don't know why I always use donkey sex as the example.
I don't know.
Projection.
As he said earlier, because you're a jackass.
All right.
Bye-bye.